नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 17 डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ द वर्णाश्रम सिस्टम टेक्स्ट नंबर 54।
इत्तम परिमृशन मुक्तो इत्तम परिमृशन मुक्तो गृहेषु अतिथिवद्वसन् गृहेषु अतिथिवद्वसन् न गृहैरनुबध्येत न गृहैरनुबध्येत निर्ममो निरहंकृता निर्ममो निरहंकृता इत्तं परिमृशन् मुक्तो गृहेषु अतिथिवद्वसन् न गृहैरनुबध्येत निर्ममो निरहंकृता इत्तं परिमृशन् मुक्तो गृहेषु अतिथिवद्वसन् न गृहैरनुबध्येत निर्ममो निरहंकृता। इत्तं परिमृशन् मुक्तो गृहेषु अतिथिवद्वसन् न गृहैरनुबध्येत निर्ममो निरहंकृता। इत्तं परिमृशन् मुक्तो गृहेषु अतिथिवद्वसन् गृहैरनुबध्येत
मतजिस् इत्तम दस परिमृशन डीपली कंसिडरिंग मुक्तः एलिबरेटेड सोल गृहेषु एट होम अतिथिवत जस्ट लाइक ए गेस्ट वसन लिविंग न नॉट गृहे बाय द डोमेस्टिक सिचुएशन anubadhyeta should become bound nirmamah without any sense of personal proprietorship nirahankrita without false ego. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada ki deeply considering the actual situation, a liberated soul should live at home just like a guest, without any sense of proprietorship or false ego. In this way, he will not be bound or entangled by domestic affairs. Purport. The word mukta or liberated refers to one freed from all material attachment. In this status called mukta sangha, one no longer identifies oneself as a permanent resident of the material world. This liberated status may be attained even by one situated in family life. The only requirement is that one should take up a serious program of Krishna Sankirtana, which includes constant chanting of the holy names of the Lord, worship of the deity, and participation in the Krishna consciousness movement. Without a serious program of Krishna Sankirtana, it is very difficult to give up the iron shackles of attachment to woman and the byproducts of such attachment.
Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuro Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna, seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees and all those that are also hearing it anywhere outside, that I can speak something on this exalted topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, the description of Varnashram system by Lord Krishna to Uddhava. And amazing revelations and insights that Lord Krishna is giving into all the varnas, all the ashramas, and then he also is in the previous, till now, in the previous verses, we saw about the varnas, about how the Brahmana should live, how the Kshatriya should be situated. And now, Krishna speaks about the ashramas. He is speaking about how the grihastha should be living in his house, in his home. And Lord Krishna unsettles by speaking this verse and many of the verses which are not usually thought of that way. Many times the understanding that Lord Krishna is giving in this verse is that the owner of the house should stay in the house as if he is a guest in the house. It usually happens that the guest tends to become the owner. In Bombay there is a rule for renting any homes that you can't rent more than a specific number of months or years, else if you keep staying, then you tend to become the one of the co-owners of that place, or nobody can remove you from that place. Therefore, many of the old dwellings, we cannot ask anyone to leave because they have stayed enough. And same with our situation in this material world, that because we have stayed enough in this world, we tend to think that now I am a resident of this place. Or in other countries, when Indian nationals go and be there, they have a understanding that they are not the citizens of this place, they are just immigrants, they have just come. But slowly, slowly, as the generations go, the next generation, they say that we are not NRIs, we are not non-resident Indians, we are actually the citizens of that country. So the whole connection to the homeland is broken. And same way here, because we start staying in this material world, we start to think that bhalo, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that you start to like this place or start to get adjusted to this place. And although we may get adjusted to this place, there are all these different upheavals and surprises and disappointments that keep us busy. One of the main ways material life keeps us busy is with uncertainty. There is always some or other uncertainty that exists in everyone's life. And these uncertainties tend to stop us from taking to what is most important, thinking that let this uncertainty go away from my life, then I will fully focus on my chanting or fully focus on my reading or on my internal journey. As long as the external situation is uncertain, then the mind tends to focus on that. And with the home or trying to have an empire in this world, nothing just goes on a auto mode. There's always some trouble, some difficulty, something is there, and then we have to put aside the bead bag or our sadhana and focus. And even when we are doing our sadhana, all these uncertainties just tend to take over the mind. And to not get absorbed and entangled is what Krishna is explaining here, that naturally you have to stay in this world, if you are a grahastha, have a home or whatever possessions you need to have, but how to not get entangled, how to not get so caught up that you are not able to come out. Gaurambo gives this example of tag. When we dress the deities to keep the different ornaments at specific places in specific angles, we use a blue tag. And this blue tag, the beauty of this is that it sticks in the morning, but in the evening, when you have to undress the deities, then it comes out with equal, with not much difficulty, and neither the dress nor the place where we are keeping, say, on the any part of the altar, there is no damage. Of course, unless there is gold plating, we are told to not put the tag on the gold, because gold tends to stick and come out. Otherwise, the normal wood, it just comes out. It is said the devotee, he engages into this world, but he doesn't get like a fabiquick. You know, we have this fabiquick. Even if by chance there is a one drop of this fabiquick on your fingers when you're trying to use, and it sticks, then your skin will come off, but the glue will not come out. or we have the famous Fevicol Jode, that it will never be removed. So our connection in this material world should be like a blue tag, not like a Fevicol, or the worse is like a Fevikwik. We quickly get entangled in this world. And one South Indian Vaishnava, he was explaining that even the lords themselves, they are teaching this principle, that how you should stay in this world as if you are a guest. This is not as if you are home. And he gives the example of Lord Balaji. Lord Balaji, he stays in Tirupati, but Tirupati is the owner of Tirupati is Lord Varahadev. And he stays in that place as a rent, and he pays the rent, so he doesn't own the place. So he stays as a resident, not as the owner of that place. And I know many, especially in today's constantly changing of jobs, most people don't want to buy a house, because even if they buy a house, the house and where they are working may not be in the same place. And every generation thinks that when they are in the village, they think that let's make a nice house in this village so that all the coming generations will stay here. And most of us know that all the village homes are all quite big, so that all the whole joint family can stay. But because of the job or pressures of the material world, except the old parents or grandparents, no one stays in those village homes. And then the next is, okay, in the town. Then I also seen people making big bungalows, big houses in the towns, thinking, okay, village may not be so employable, but now it seems that in this town everybody is here. So let's make a nice dwelling place in the town. But as Kali Yuga progresses, as the demands, desires increase, even a town situation is not sufficient. Then people shift to cities. And then to, even in city, it is not, then they shift countries. So at one time they understand that no point in making a permanent dwelling place, because no situation is permanent because of the situations of the material world. But the reality is that the material world is like that you may make your house with binani cement, sadiyon ke liye. But you may not stay in that house for sadiyon ke liye, because you may be shifted, or your life itself will not be there for sadiyon ke liye. So therefore, Lord Krishna is explaining here that no matter whether you stay in your own home, your own place, or in a rented place, understand that you are just a visitor. You are just a guest in this place. And either your expiry will match with your breath expiry, or someone else will come and tell you to vacate. And then he was making another observation, not just Lord Balaji, but even Shiva. Shiva also doesn't stay in his own home. He stays in his in-law's home. Shiva, he resides in Kailash. And Kailash is his in-law's home. Parvati is the daughter of mountains. And he prefers to stay in the in-law's home. And then he says that for a man, he quotes some verse from, I don't remember the verse. He says, for a man, if there is one place where there is some happiness for him, that is in his in-law's house. So therefore Shiva, he prefers to stay in the in-law's house. But the opposite is also true. And if there is one place for the wife where there is no guarantee for happiness or peace, is again in-law's home. Because she, when she comes, so there is so much demand, okay, or you should not sleep so late or this or that. And he says that not just Shiva, even Vishnu, he resides in the milk ocean, in the Kshir Sagar. And why does Lord Vishnu reside in the Kshir Sagar? Because in the Kshir Sagar, again, is his in-law's home. Mother Lakshmi, she is the daughter of ocean, milk ocean. When the churning of the milk ocean was happening, Rama Devi appeared out of the milk ocean. So even Lord Vishnu, when he comes to this material world, he doesn't make his own place. He stays in the in-law's home. That at least there is some kind of happiness. But then he says that, but if anyone else, if he thinks, okay, if I stay in the in-law's home, there will always be happiness. It won't be. He says, first day you will get a nice dahi, yogurt. Thick yogurt in the meal. Next day, you will get chas. You will not get thick dahi, you will get chas. And the third day, you will not even get chas. You will get just water. Pani milega. And if you stay beyond 3 days, and then the fourth day, you will be sent to the goshala to milk the cows. Prabhupada used to tell this story of like the son-in-law was not willing to move out of the house of the in-laws because everything was very comfortable. So yes, Lord Krishna, he arranges nice comfortable situation in this world, but this is not our in-laws' home. And any time or other, we will be evicted. And instead of living in a attached way, now that is what is nirmama, that this is mine. And even when we are doing yagyas, we all know that when we do the idam krishnaya, idam na mama, that I am offering this energy of mine, this resource of mine for Krishna's service, and idam na mama, this is not mine, it doesn't belong to me. So very consistently that theme comes when somebody is doing a sacrifice, that everything belongs to Krishna, nothing belongs to me. And but when somebody is in this conception that everything is for Krishna or nothing is for my enjoyment, then there is another challenge that comes up in this material world. That is in the next word, nirahankrita. If you're starting to get detached, then along with the detachment, the usual tendency is that your ahankar starts to increase. You start to become egoistic. You start to become proud of your detachment. And that's often the case that say on a Ekadashi day or on a fasting day, Most devotees are fasting, but some may not be fasting. And those who are doing the full fast, if they look at the person who is engaged in, okay, mama, this is my Mahaprasad, and he is taking, then he doesn't get into that activity of eating the Mahaprasad, but he starts to internally feel, see, this person is so fallen, and I am so elevated. So therefore the situation in the material world has these two catches, two traps. One is attachment. When you can get attached, and then when you are attached, then you get so entangled you are not able to progress, you are not able to come out of it. And then there is detachment. Then if you are detached, then your ego starts to think that you are better than others, as you are holier than thou, you are better than all the others that are assembled in this place. So therefore it's a important solution that Lord Krishna is giving, that stay and use all the gifts that Krishna has given you, but understand that they are only gifts. They are not your property. They are not something, as I often say, that we are part of the supply chain, we are not the end user. When some gadget is being made, say, there is always an end user, that whom this product is supposed to end at the end, who be used at the end. And all of you, when you buy a software or when you open a new phone, there is some kind of software license agreements and all of that come, that is called as EULA, end user license agreement. You are accepting that I am the end user and I am going to determine how to use this. But then there are also supply chain. Supply chain is those that receive, say, the casket or the frame or the chip, and then they have to assemble it in the proper place, make it better and pass it on. That's their role. And with the gifts and beautiful situation, whatever things are there in this world, we are supposed to use them, and end user is not me, but end user is Krishna. I am only part of the supply chain. Somebody goes to the flower market to get the flowers, thinking that the whole mindset is that the end user, the end enjoyer is not me, but it is Shishi Radha Gopinath. And when you see the flowers on them, then you feel pleasure. Some of our devotees get the flowers from not market, but actually from the trees. They, in the morning, as they are doing japa, and as they are coming to the temple, they are scanning all the trees that are there in their locality or in their campus, and they pluck all the flowers. And because they, not for them to get decorated themselves, but for them to come and offer to Shishi Radha Gopinath. And this kind of understanding that where I am not the proprietor, I am not the enjoyer, but I am only an assistant in the Lord's service, is a very important way by which we don't get entangled. Else our involvement will always turn into entanglement. And if you see Lord Krishna's life, Lord Krishna, one of the main misconceptions about Bhagavad Gita is that Bhagavad Gita is propagating detachment. But Lord Krishna's life is full of being involved with matters. When he was in Vrindavan, he was fully involved with what was happening. When he was in Mathura, he was fully involved. When he was in Dwaraka, it was always high involvement, even with Pandavas. Pandavas were not even his own kingdom. It was his cousin's kingdom. But he was very much involved. But although he was involved, that involvement didn't turn into any kind of entanglement. And then we have in Ramayana, Bharat having the same mood, that I'll rule Ayodhya, but not thinking that this is my kingdom, but this is, I am ruling this on the behalf of Lord Ram. And in the Bhagavatam 4th canto, we have Prithu Maharaj, who when the Kumaras, four Kumaras come, he offers the whole kingdom to the four Kumaras, that now I offer my whole kingdom to you. And the four Kumaras, they don't ask Prithu, what is your retirement plan? Where are you going? We'll rule the kingdom. What are you going to do? The four Kumaras, they accept the kingdom and then they give it back to Prithu Maharaj. And Prithu Maharaj again accepts it back as their Mahaprasad. Else, in the beginning, It was just, okay, this is my kingdom. Just like when we offer prasad, before we offer the food, it is all materially involved. The karma is there. But when we offer it to Krishna, and when again we honor the prasad, then it is karma free. Because now that we have offered it to Krishna, and we are taking the prasad with the understanding that how Radha and Gopinath must have enjoyed this prasad. And when we have that kind of understanding, then we don't get involved. And in the recent past, in the South India, Kerala, especially in the last year, this particular temple became very famous all over the world for all the gold that was there. Ananta Padmanabha Swami temple, where in the treasury, the seven treasuries that they have, so much gold was found, and people were wondering that so much wealth was there way back. Somehow the invaders didn't know of this place, that so much gold was there, so they didn't usurp it. But then the whole world was wondering that how so much gold, so much wealth was there in this kingdom with Ananta Padmanabha Swami. And then the story goes back to one of the earlier kings. Of course, initially the Kulashekar Alwar, King Kulashekara, was ruling that particular province. And being inspired by his example, one of the later kings known as King Martanda Varma, he officially, on legal papers, he wrote the whole kingdom on Ananta Padmanabha Swami's name. That this whole kingdom and this whole wealth doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Padmanabha Swami. And then the king is only a regent, is only a treasurer, is only a caretaker that is there. And then every king assume this title known as Sri Padmanabha Dasa. They have their name like King Raja Martanda Varma, but then the ending is Sri Padmanabha Dasa. That we are not our own, all this wealth, all this kingdom just doesn't belong to me, but I am only a steward, I am only a caretaker. I am not the master. And we see that with this understanding, when the king has that kind of understanding that the whole kingdom belongs to Ananta Padmanabha Swami, then all the citizens also had this mood. And if it belongs to him, then he should be the primary enjoyer. And whatever is needed for our utility, Lord will give, or we'll keep that much amount and then rest we'll give it to the Lord. So that way, the whole kingdom started donating whatever they had to Ananta Padmanabha Swami. And that's how the whole wealth increased in that place. And because the whole understanding was, this is the Lord's property, for the Lord's service and in service to the Lord to serve the society, that wealth was not misused for someone's personal profit or enjoyment. So we see such examples in our history where when we have this kind of understanding, the graha, the home, this is not mine. And how do you define a home? Home is not, or the house is not something that is made by four walls. If home is something that is made by four walls, even the temple is made by four walls. But you call the temple as a alaya, but the home as a graha. And anything that we get bound by, anything that we start depending upon, and we become a servant of, that is what is called as. Now even the body, although it is called as deha, Ridhan Maharaj explains that deha in Sanskrit means that which is given. That when you give something, then it is called deha. So although this is deha, this is given to you, we didn't produce this. It is in the form of a seed, it was given by parents, and then by natural elements we grew. But the living entity, although this is Deha, he starts to think that this is mine, this is not given to me, this is actually, I am a self-made man. Either it be knowledge, either it be beauty, there may be many that may be contesting for knowledge prizes or beauty prizes. But the beauty that they have on their face or the intelligence that they have on their heads, it is Deha. It is given to you. But although the word says that, somehow the understanding doesn't go into the brain that this is not mine. I am only being given, and if I am being given something, I should not misuse it. What is the purpose for giving this? Sometimes you give something to someone and you tell also the purpose that, okay, take this here or do this way. And same way, if the body is given to us, now why was the body given? That also should be understood. And one of the ways Lord Krishna explains here is that ittam parimrishan. Every person that is living in a situation, that is a graha, that is a house where you are depending on it, one should do deep consideration that, am I utilizing the situation to progress towards Krishna, or am I becoming a servant of the situation? Now, in the Vedic Varnashram system, the grahasthas, the householders, are divided into two categories. One is the grahastha, another is the grahamedi. Grahastha is someone who is situated in a, he uses that as a platform for growing in his spiritual connection, in his relationship with the Lord. But a grahamedi, his whole consciousness revolves around that home, just like the mobile. Now the mobile is in our hasta. So we can call as mobile hastas or cell hastas. And the whole thing that you take the mobile so that you can use the mobile for your service or in your service. But slowly as you start utilizing the mobile, say calling or this or that, you get enamored by all the features that may be there, or the speed that is there, or the glitter or the glamour that is there. And very soon, without your knowing, conscious endeavor, you may get entangled with that mobile, get addicted to the mobile, and actually become a servant of the mobile. And any time there is notification is the master is calling, and then you immediately go and attend. Yes, my master, what is your order? And the master will say, somebody has commented on you on Facebook. Go and see what are they commenting. And you say, yes, master, immediately I will do that. Or Amazon will say, there is huge discount, and notification will come. And you'll say, oh, the Amazon master is calling me to engage in his service. So in this way, rather than you becoming the user of the mobile, the mobile starts using you, or the world starts you start becoming a victim. Therefore, there is known as selkaholic, like alcoholic. There is selkaholic, like workaholic. There is selkaholic. We start becoming entangled. And this mobile is just a small example of how the home. And griha also, in a larger context, is not just the home, but anything in which your consciousness just becomes absorbed or stays. And it can be a desha. The four boundaries of the nation can also become a griha. Or the four boundaries of an institution can also become a griha. That instead of understanding that Griha is there for you to achieve Krishna, Anugraha, you become absorbed in protecting and maintaining that situation that is there in front of you. So therefore, Grahastha is not just anybody that is married to a wife, but anyone that becomes, that starts protecting and maintaining the situation in which he is there, just because he got entangled in that, or he finds some kind of comfort, and rather than growing. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur often said that there are grahasthas and grahamedis, and there are also matamedis. That somebody whose consciousness is wholly and solely absorbed in the mata, or how can I get better position in this mata? How can I enjoy the facilities in this place? So rather than understanding that this situation, yes, it's a gifted situation that Lord Krishna has given, but I am only atidivat. I am only there for short time. And whenever a devotee understands this, then he is able to grow. And Maharaj, His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj was giving a wonderful example of electricity. And there are different, when electricity is there and you want to pass that electricity, you have to use some kind of medium. And medium is usually some kind of liquid or a solid, metal, or usually metals are used. Now among the metals, there are different categories. One is known as insulators. Now insulators are those metals that don't pass the electricity at all. Usually glass or wood. If there is a live connection here, somewhere on the wood, then even if you sit on that object, you don't feel any shock. The electricity doesn't pass. And then there is the semiconductors. Semiconductors are those that in some kind of situations, some kind of conditions, they will pass the electricity from one place to another place. But along with that passing of the electricity, doing that service, they'll also generate heat. There is heat generation, like you see all these lights. They're all semiconductors. They're conducting the electricity, but they're also generating heat. And the heat is so much that you see it as a light. Of course, it's beneficial that they are semiconductors. Then there are conductors. The difference between semiconductors and conductors is, in semiconductors, heat is more and the energy passed is less. So you take more facilities, then you actually offer service. You are more a liability than an asset. Yes, you are an asset, you are doing some service, but more than the service, you are also taking more. Then the conductors are those that take some, that generate some heat, but they do more service than what they are taking it. And finally, there are the superconductors. Superconductors are those that whatever you pass on one side, whatever electricity, whatever number of electrons you pass, it doesn't keep anything for itself. It just passes everything from one point to another point fast and without any heat generation. And Maharaj was saying, a pure devotee is like a superconductor. And a materialist is like a insulator. And a sadhaka, you can see yourself whether you are a semiconductor or a normal conductor. And he was saying that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because tomorrow is Gaur Purnima, he was connecting. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu His mercy is in such a way that He has come to make every type of metal that exists on the planet into a superconductor. He is so potent. He is such a strong magnet. Usually when you have to make superconductor, of course I studied some part of this in my material education. So you need, for something to be made into a superconductor, you need really powerful magnets. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that supremely powerful magnet that even someone who is totally insulated, nothing about God can go into his life. He doesn't accept that God's grace exists in his life. But even to such persons like Jaga and Madai, He has made them into superconductors that just become a zero absorbers of any kind of creators of any kind of heat, any resistance, and total, the heart is so empty, so open for Lord's grace to pass through them. And usually, according to current understanding, any metal, if it cools down, if it goes to the zero temperature, not the 0 degrees, it's called as Kelvin, but is the absolute zero. The more closer you go to zero, the more superconductor you become. In the normal situations, it is difficult. And same way, he was saying that the more humble you become, the more your own temperature or pride decreases, the more you will be able to become an instrument in the Lord's hand and actually appreciate all the mercy, all the grace that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming and giving us. So therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Shishashtakam, the first two are the glorification of the greatness and magnanimity of the Lord's holy name. Durdaivam idrisham yaha janinaru. That although nam nam akar, although you are so magnanimous and although you are so great, at the end is I have no taste. And the third and fourth verses are the how do you appreciate the Lord's Sankirtan movement. Here it is said one can grow by not get entangled if one seriously practices Sankirtan movement. So the third and fourth verses, Trinadapi Suni Chena Taroriva Saishnuna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari Nadanam Najanam Sundarim Kavitam Va Jagadisha Kamaye Mama Janmani Janmanishvare Bhavatad Bhakti Rahe Tukitvai. These two are sadhana bhakti. These two have to be consciously practiced. And the next 5 to 8 are the results of the. So what the real sadhana that we have to do is to practice these 3 and 4 verses. Because that way when you become humble, when you reduce your temperature, then you can actually appreciate and accept. Else in our situation, many times we are only cribbing or creating heat. Lord is giving His mercy, but we are not able to appreciate all the mercy that is coming in our life and not able to share that mercy. But when we become, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy and His powerful grace, we become humble, we reduce our temperature, then we tend to become, go to near towards becoming a superconductor. So I'll stop here and thank all the devotees for being very attentive. Shri Prabhupada ki.